and your prayers.
Good evening. Let's all stand and let's get ready to worship together.
Jake's good guy.
Hey, Jake.
Get in here. Get that rascal. Jake, you got your hands covered.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. I lift your name on high.
Good job, Jake.
Good singing.
Good job, brother.
Healing every heart. worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Great singing. Let's go around and shake somebody's hand this evening.
Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 136, singing the first three verses of the First Noel. The First Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's was night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, three wise men came from Covent afar to seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Our next hymn is one that you might not be too familiar with, but just pretend and sing it out. Worthy of Worship. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Worthy of reverence, worthy of fear, worthy of love and devotion, worthy of howling and bending of knees, worthy of all this and added to these. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy and worship and praise. Last verse. Almighty Father, Master and Lord, King of all kings and Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, Comforter, Friend, Savior and source of our life without end. You are worthy, Father, Creator. You are worthy, Savior, Sustainer. You are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. I'd like for you to do something, like for you to turn to your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, "You sound wonderful." Let's continue our praise by turning 349, singing "Trust and Obey." When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Third verse. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil we doth richly repay. Not a grief for a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by this side in the way. What He says we will do, when He swears we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. You may be seated.
Brother Chuck, if you want your Bibles to me to And this evening I'm going to try to do something and not get myself in trouble. But that is really loud. I might be able to hear. So tonight, just kind of want to start off with a question. It's this: are you hungry? Right? Are you hungry? And so, like I said, I don't want your minds to start wondering, because with this question, I mean, my mind goes immediately to some of these commercials I've seen, right? I think of my son Aiden, and there's a couple commercials that he really likes. So he likes anything that's Arby's, because he goes around and, you know, we got the meat, right? And then every time there's a Burger King commercial that comes on, and they send about 27,000 different kinds of Whoppers that you can get. But every time it comes on, his ears perk up, and he's like, "I like that commercial," right? And so as we're talking tonight, you know, are you hungry? We're going to be looking at the right kind of hunger here, and a hunger and a desire for God and His Word. All right, and so here in Psalm chapter 63, we'll start in verse number 1, and it says this: "O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate, I rejoice in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of my wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight, and we're just so thankful that we're able to gather in your house here in your name. Lord, I just ask that our hearts would be open, that you just speak to us this evening, that you'd encourage us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd just help us to live for you. We ask that if there won't be one here tonight that is listening or watching, that and they don't know you, Lord, we just ask that they would be saved, that they'd see your truth and give their heart and life over to you. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we started off here, you know, David was writing, and talks about, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." He says, "My soul thirsteth after thee." And he goes on, you know, that his flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. You know, as we look at this kind of alliteration as far as this dry and thirsty land, and we think about our country, right, our society and the place that we are in, we live in a land that's dry and thirsty for the things of God, don't we? A land that's very lacking in the things of the Lord, right? And so that's something where we should have that desire and thirst for God, something where we know that he's better than all the things out here in the world of our needs. You know, my kids are kind of funny, right? And so, as you know, I have 5 kids, and it's funny because when they go and play outside, you know, they'll go and play outside, and they'll play out there for about 10 minutes, and they'll be like, "Dad, we got to take a break. I got to go get a drink. I'm thirsty," right? You think that 10 minutes was the same thing as them spending about 7 days out in the Sahara Desert. You know, they're just like, "Dad, I got to stop." And I'm thinking, well, I never did that when I was a kid. I was just go, 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 go. And but it's funny, you know, just this change. You know, we have snack time at our house, and so it's about 4 o'clock. But you think that, you know, at 3:30 they were about to starve to death, right? They're just dying for something to eat. "Dad, I have not eaten. I am so hungry," right? But you know, the thing is we can laugh about these things, but you know, we have to have that full concept of a real, true hunger for the things of God's word, right? Not that we just want it a little bit, but that we cannot live without it. You know, that we have a true craving or a desire for the things of God. You know, so many times in a life, you know, we go through life and we kind of have it backwards. We try to fit God into one of convenience instead of necessity, right? We try to just fit him in wherever we can, instead of knowing that we cannot live without him, right? You know, we place everything and anything ahead of God so many times. You know, we'll place work ahead of God. We'll place practice or ball games ahead of God. Watching a sports game on TV, time with our family. But we place all these things ahead of God, the one that created us, right? One that loves us, one that's redeemed us and saved us. And so we need to have that true hunger for the Lord. True hunger for God comes from a revelation of the fear of the Lord. When you're grounded in the fear of the Lord, you want your life to bless him for his sake more than for your own gain. Our hunger is fueled knowing that Jesus is the center of our salvation rather than ourselves. It's all by him, through him, and for him. You know, we need to make sure that our life revolves around Jesus, right? It's not the other way around. Everything that we do should revolve around him, that we would have a healthy fear of God, knowing that he's the one that has created everything, right? He's the one that's redeemed us. It's nothing by that we've done, but it's only by him. You know, and that we would praise him for that, that we would live our life in a way that we wanted to bless him in all that we do. You know, the Bible teaches that we should do everything to glorify God. In all that we do, we do it to the best of our abilities, not for our own sakes and not for, you know, the congratulations that we get, but that we glorify God. And so it's all about him and not for our own gain. You know, it's knowing everything that he did for us, how much he loved us, and that we're going to follow him and love him because of that. You know, the Bible teaches that we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that right? And so, like I said, everything about us needs to be to glorify God. As David's writing here and teaching, you know, he talks there in verse number 2 about how he's seen God's power and his glory. You know, How many times have we seen God do some amazing things in our life, right? We've seen it right here in this church. Think about all that's been happening here. All the people that have been saved, being baptized, lives being changed. Think about even just a couple years ago, needing a place to go and God providing us with a building, right? God's been good, hasn't he? Amen. And to see his power and his glory is something that is just inconceivable. It's something that we can't even comprehend or think about because he is so good. You know, there in verse number 4, it says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You know what? Everything that we do should be to praise and glorify God, to thank him for how good he is, because the reality is we don't deserve anything from him, right? He's far better to us than we deserve. You know, and so everything that we should do would be to glorify him. You know, it talks about there in verse number 5 that we should praise him with joyful lips, right? You know what? Christians should be the happiest people on earth. You know, think about just the relationship that we have with God. You know, we don't have to be depressed and down about everything going on because we know that he's with us. We know that he's for us. We know that he wins, right? And so even though we're going to face tribulations and trials, you know what? God's there with us. There's nothing that can happen to us that he hasn't already overcame. And so we should be the happiest people out there. We should be those that are building up and encouraging others, that there's a joy in us that is only there because of God and how good he is, right? And so when people see that, you know, they see that there's something different about us. They realize that there's a difference, and they ask what that difference is. We can give them an answer, and it's only because of God, right? You know, as we go on here in verse number 6, he says, when I remember thee upon my bed. You know what? We should look back and remember the good things that God's done, right? And look at the things that he is doing. But we should remember those things, dwell on them. Dwell on the things that God's done, because when we think about what God's done and how he's working in our lives, the way he's provided, it encourages us, doesn't it? It strengthens us. It gives us that hope that we know that he's done it before, he's going to do it again. There's nothing that can come against us. And here in verse number 8, it says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. You know, when it says that his soul follows hard after God, you know what? That's one that's unmovable. It's one that isn't going to be shaken off easily, right? It's a set course, going to keep to it no matter what. And so that is the decision that we've made, that we're going to follow after God no matter what. No matter what comes in our way, no matter what tribulation or hard time, we're going to follow God. It goes on there to see where our strength comes from and where our hope comes from. And it says that thy right hand upholdeth me. You know what? God's right there with us every step of the way, isn't he? You know, and he's the one that we have our hope in. He's the reason that we can trust him, is because he's there right beside us. He hasn't just, you know, got us into a bad situation and taken off. You ever been with somebody that they got you in a bad situation and you turn around and they're gone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? God's not like that. You know, he's never going to lead us into a bad situation, number one. And number two, if we find ourselves in a bad situation, he's right there with us, right? And so, you know, a life that, when we have God, you know, a God that's like that, you know, we have a real hunger, a real desire, a real craving to be around him, to be closer to him, right? And so this evening, we're going to look at just kind of in our Christian life, three ways that we should desire God, right? So the first one tonight, we should desire God's word, right? We should desire God's word. You know, and so with this, I'm going to kind of lump in a couple things, right? So I'm going to lump in that, you know what, every Christian should be reading their Bible, right? You know what? This is God's word, and it's been preserved for us. He wants us to have it. This is how we can know God's will for our life, right? This is how we know what God says is right, what God says is wrong. You know, we live in a world today that they have right and wrong kind of confused. A world that calls evil good and good evil. It's completely backwards. You know, the Bible also teaches that in the last times, that's the way the world's going to be. That's going to be backwards. They're going to call the evil things good and praise those that are doing evil and wrong. And those that are trying to take a stand for God, they're going to call us evil, right? And that's the world that we live in. We live in a world today where you can't even speak out against some of the wickedness without somebody coming against you and accusing you of hate speech. And it's not that we hate somebody, right? We don't hate anybody, but we hate the sin. We have to draw a line, and what God says is right, and what God says is wrong, and it's not for us to decide, it's just for us to follow, right? Amen. But you know what? Every Christian should be reading their Bible, right? Every Christian should have a desire to be in church in God's house where we hear his word, right? And so this evening, I'm just going to kind of lump in reading your Bible and word, being in church, you know, to hear the word, to have that fellowship. We talked this morning in Sunday school about how iron sharpeneth iron, right? We're here to build one another up, to strengthen one another, amen? And so here in Hebrews 10:25, you don't have to turn over there, but it says this. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know what? There's a large majority of people that they don't have a desire to be in God's house. They don't put God's house first. They want the benefits of a relationship with Jesus without putting any work into it. You know, they want benefits for nothing. You know, and the Christian life is one where it's a life of sacrifice so many times, but we should have a desire to be here. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I love being in God's house and around all of you, right? You know, it's something that we should really look forward to. Not that we just do it when it's convenient to us, you know, but that's necessary for our life, that it's necessary to strengthen our life, to strengthen our relationship with God, right? And over in 1 Peter, if you want to turn there, 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter chapter number 2, and we're going to be starting verse number 1. But we should desire the things of God and his word. Here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what? We should desire God's word, shouldn't we? As a newborn baby desires milk because it's not going to grow if it's not fed. You know what? As a Christian, we're not going to grow unless we're in God's word, right? We're not going to grow unless we're in fellowship of other believers. And so if we want to strengthen our relationship with God, to strengthen our faith, we have to, there's no other way, but we have to have a desire for God's word. You know, we look at it, and in the early church, so over in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, but it talks about the early church. And, you know, I just want to think about it a little bit here, but think about the early church and where they started. You know what? They had a real desire for God's word. They had a real desire to see what God was going to do. It wasn't just out of convenience, but here in verse 46, it says this. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I don't know if you saw that or not. I caught it in verse 46. But it says this, continuing daily in the temple. You know what? They had church every day, right? Every single day. Imagine that. You know how much better our society would be if we had church every day? But, you know, the sad truth is that it's hard to get people here Sunday and Wednesday, right? Let alone every single day. Many people have this mindset of, I just went on Sunday, why do I have to go back? They have a mindset of, why do I need more? Instead of the mindset of, I can never have enough of God's word, right? I can never have enough of that fellowship. And so, you know, it's just changing that mindset in ourselves that we would have that true desire for God, right? That we can never get enough, that we can never have enough of him. But they met every day. That they sold everything they had all things common so they could meet every day. Isn't that amazing? And we see how God blessed that too there in verse 47, where it says that he added daily such as should be saved. You know what? Lives were changed every single day because of that sacrifice, because of that desire for God. Over in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 11, you won't have to turn there, but, you know, here in the day that we live in, right, we almost have this, that mindset of convenience once again, where we show up to church and church starts at 10:30 and it should be over and I should be at the restaurant by 12:30, right? You know what? That's one, once again, on us, where, you know, church starts and we're looking at that watch. 10 more minutes, right? But, you know, there in Acts chapter 20, we see where Paul was preaching. They met for dinner, and he preached all the way till midnight, right? When a man fell asleep, fell from the third floor, died, he brought him back to life and kept preaching until the sun came up, right? I could just hear the people complaining now, right? Yeah, but to see the people that, you know, they had a desire to be there as Paul would preach all night long, right? They had a desire for God's word and to see what God was doing. But, you know, we see such a disconnect in our life today, don't we? Where people, we can't even get them in on a couple days a week. You mean you want me to do what? Come back? Right? But we see the difference. You know, when we are sold out and have that true desire for God, we can see God do amazing things, can't we? Right? The more we give to God, the more he's going to return to us with that blessing. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But we should desire to have more and more of him, right? That we would be completely filled with him. As we go on here, number two tonight would be desire God's relationship. We should desire God's relationship. And you know, so many times in our Christian life, you know, people have this mindset of, okay, well, I got saved, so now I have this relationship with God. I know God, and that's all I need, right? I'm going to go to heaven one day, and good for me. Pat me on the back. I'm good. But you know what? That's not the way it really is. You know, the life, the Christian life is one that it's a daily relationship. We need God every single day. We don't just need him when we die so we can go to heaven, as good as that is. But think about all that you would miss out on throughout your whole life if that's the way you lived, right? We should desire to have a close relationship with Jesus. You know, we think about all he did for us, how much he loved us, how he gave everything for us, right? Don't you want to know somebody like that and get to know them better? Not just know of them, but to truly know them, right? We should, and if we want to know God, it's no different than with your friends, right? If you have a very good friend, you know what you probably do? You probably talk to them, right? You probably spend time with them. You probably do things together, right? But you know what? That should be our relationship with God. We should have that daily walk and desire to be with him, to talk to him, to know him, to have his guiding hand upon us, that he would lead us in what he would have us to do. Yeah, I'm reminded of over in Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11, and going to be in verse 1. It says this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and this is speaking of Jesus, so as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you know what we see there? We see a desire, right? A desire to talk to and communicate with God. You know, we know that we have an advocate, right, to the Father, right? Jesus is the mediator. The Bible talks about how there's one mediator between men and God, right? And that's Christ Jesus. But you know what? If we never use that, if we never speak to him, then we're completely blowing and missing a great opportunity, aren't we? A great blessing. You know, we see here as the disciples asked Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. You know, that's a one that is a, it's showing a desire, right? It's not just saying, hey, you know, I can do that maybe, but teach us to pray. Show us. Show us so that we can have that relationship with God. And so that's one, too, that's one that's humbling, right? It's not saying that I know it all, right? But saying, teach me, right? And that's what we're missing so many times in our life is we're missing out on being teachable, right? But if we would be teachable, if we would know how to pray, and then you know what? The great thing about prayer is the more we do it, the easier it gets. You know, it's funny because the kids, so I was actually, my wife and I was talking to the kids today, and so Aiden was talking about the preaching competition at church camp that's coming up. He said, I don't think I'm going to do the preaching competition. He said, I can't talk for 5 minutes. I don't know what I'm going to say for 5 minutes. It's like, and if you know Aiden, I'm telling you, you can't keep the kid quiet for 3 seconds. So so he's not going, he wouldn't have any trouble with that, right? But you know what? The thing is start somewhere, right? Start somewhere, and you know, the more we do it, the more practice we have, you'd be amazed at how long we can actually talk to God, right? And part of talking to God is just like with anything. You know, some of it, we have to talk, but sometimes we have to listen too, right? And we need to be in his word. We need to look at it. We need to spend that time in prayer, reading his word and meditation, just in thinking of the things of God, you know, and allowing him to lead us in what we should do. You know, so many times we go through life and we're going through just all on our own, making our own decisions, right? And it gets us in trouble a lot of times. I don't know about you, but it gets me in trouble, right? If I make any decision for myself that's without God's leading, I can make some bad decisions. Yeah, if you want to talk to my wife, it'll be fine, but... But you know what? If we would spend time in talking to God and desiring that relationship with him, one that we would desire what not only what we want, but what he has to say, you know, it can be amazing what God would show us, what God would reveal to us, how God could use us. You know, so many times in life, we miss out on opportunities because we aren't walking in that close relationship with God. You know, the thing that we have to remember, too, is this. You know what? If we aren't side by side with God doing the things that he desires for us to do, spend that time with him, that we're close to him, we're going to miss out on things that he would want us to do. He's not going to be able to do everything to him. And so we need to have that spirit where that we would desire that close relationship with him. Number three this evening is that we would desire God's will. Desire God's will. And you know, this was one that is hard a lot of times. You know, when we think about the things that we want, so often in our society or in our culture, you know, we want what we want, right? And it's all about me. Isn't that the truth? But you know, the Christian life is one where we put aside our own desires and we seek on what God desires and God's will for our life. And over in Matthew chapter number 6, so Matthew chapter number 6, and we're going to be in verse number 9. All right, and it says this. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, so many times as we're talking about prayer and those desires, you know, so many times it's easy to treat God like a genie. You know, that give me my wish instead of what he wants, isn't it? So many times we get upset when what we ask for, what we beg for, didn't happen, and we're completely missing that God's a God that's in control, God that knows better than us, right? And so we have to remember that we surrender our will to his, that we would place ourselves second in him first, that his will would be done in earth as it is in heaven, right? We need to know that he's a God that we can trust, even when things aren't going our way, right? Even when hard times are coming, that he's a God that we can trust and depend on, that we can rely on him. And as I mentioned before, you know, the Christian life is one that so many times isn't easy, right? If somebody was going to promise you that would be easy, it's not going to be easy, but I can tell you this, it's worth it, isn't it? You know, Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, to take up our cross and to follow him, right? You know, we think about the time, and the cross was one of the most gruesome, most embarrassing ways, that humiliating ways that somebody could die, right? And we know that that's how Jesus died for us, was on that cross. But you know, to take up that cross, it's one that we are humbling ourselves, that we're sacrificing our own desires for the desires of God. You know, the desires of something that's more important. You know, the Bible teaches that we should die to ourselves daily. Once we've been saved, we have two natures in us, right? We have the old self, the old man, and the new man, right? And so we need to live a life where we're living as the new man, the new creature. The Bible says that once we've been saved, we're born again, we're made new, right? We're a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so you know what? If we're a new creature, we should live like we're a new creature, right? We should surrender what our desires are to what God would have for us. You know, and sometimes, you know, that's going to mean that we sacrifice and do without things that maybe we really want. But you know what? Isn't it better to have God's will done than to have a little temporary pleasure here on this earth, right? You know, we need to surrender to God's will. Make sure that we follow him each and every day. Over in Matthew 5, verse 6, and it says this. And so it's kind of going through the Beatitudes. But it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what? As I mentioned before, you know, when we hunger and thirst after the things of God, it says we're going to be filled. You know, we're going to have blessings that you just can't get anywhere else. We're going to have joy like David wrote about there in Psalm, that just isn't possible without God, right? And so when we hunger and thirst after the things of God, when we follow him, when we desire his will for our life, you know, he will do some amazing things. You know, sometimes that means that when we desire God's will, Sometimes that means that we put ourselves in a little difficult situation sometimes, right? Where we have to make that choice. Now me, sometimes, see, Brother Danny's like, oh, this is going to be good. Now, you know what, with me, I don't really like public speaking. I don't necessarily like to just go out and talk to random people, right? But you know what? With God, he can give us that strength. And you know, God's promised that he's never going to put us into a situation where he's not going to be glorified through it. You know, if we would just surrender ourselves to him and let God be glorified, stop worrying about the little things, stop worrying about if we're going to be comfortable or not, and let God's will be done, you never know what's going to happen. You know, because when God's glorified, when God's will is done, when we reach the people that God wants us to reach, when we're doing his will, you know, and part of his will is that we would love him, that we'd follow him, that we do the things that he wants us to do, that we go out and reach the lost, right? This building, you know, we're already struggling because we need more room, but you know what? It's going to get blown out if we would surrender our will to God's will, right? There's not going to be enough room to contain what God's going to do, right? And so sometimes we just need to make sure that we surrender. We have that true hunger, not just when it's convenient, but in everything that we do, that we would actually crave after God, right? That we'd have a desire to seek him, follow him in all that we do, that we'd spend time in his word, right? That we desire his word, that we desire that relationship, and that we would desire his will in our life. You know, and so as we're wrapping up tonight, you know, just think about where do you fit into this equation? You know, there's so many times where it's easy to go through the motions of something, right? To read your Bible out of like a duty or religious obligation, to come to church because you feel like it's the right thing to do. You know, but are we doing it with the right motives, the right intentions? Or are we doing it just because it's what we think is right? You know, that we would have that true desire for God, that in everything that we do, we would search and follow after him. And so I would just encourage you tonight to take a few minutes in reflection on what we can do for God. What does God want and desire for you to do? What's his will for your life? Is there somebody that he wants you to talk to reach out to invite to church, to tell about him, just to show how good God is? Because God has a desire for each one of us. He saved us for a purpose. He's got a purpose and a calling for each one of our lives. Somebody that he has for us to reach. Somebody that he has for us to talk to, right? And so are we seeking after him and following that purpose? You know, maybe tonight you'll have a question as far as what it means to be saved. How we can have a relationship with a God that has created us, that has died on that cross because he loved us so that we can go to heaven. And you know, the good news is tonight that God didn't just stay dead on that cross, but he rose from the dead. You know, think about how good God is, how much he loves us, right? John 3:16, all the kids can quote it, right? But we know that God loved us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, God knew that the only way that you and I were going to be changed, that we were going to be made new, is through Jesus. God knew our condition far before we even realized what it was. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, think about how good of God that is, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Jesus knew everything that we're going to do, every mistake we were going to make, but he loved us so much that he died for us anyway. And so if you're here tonight, or if you're listening online, and you have a question on what it means to be saved, you know, that's something if you want to come up, and I would love to be able to talk to you and tell you how you can be saved. If you're listening tonight, this is what you need to know, is that Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says that if we would confess our sins to God and ask him for his forgiveness, he'll save us. And so all we have to do is ask him for it, right? Hey, Brother OJ. But, you know, we'll just take a couple minutes tonight as we reflect and think about how good God is and desiring to follow him. If we could get a couple of guys to come forward tonight, we'll receive our evening offering. All right, let's pray. Father God, once again, we're just so grateful to be in your house. Lord, we just ask that you go before us tonight, just in all that we do, that you just be with this offering, bless both the gift and the giver, and just use it to expand and glorify your kingdom. That you be with our missionaries all over the world, and just be with us as we try to reach the lost here in Dayton. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And just a couple quick announcements this evening. If you'll remember, Splash Camp is coming up, so my wife and I and Brother AJ and Miss Bethany Hatcher may be going a little crazy here in about a week as we're wrangling all the third through fifth grade. As we're going to camp, it's going to be an awesome time, just a great experience, and I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do. It's there in your bulletin, but we will be leaving Monday morning the 31st, so about a week, and but we'll be leaving at 8:45 in the morning, so if you could be here about 8:15 with your kids and just have everything packed and ready to go. If you need to have a list of what to bring, but just looking forward to a wonderful time there. And let's see, we have a ladies' fellowship coming up Tuesday, August 8th at 6:30 p.m. And Sister Sierra Morton will be giving the devotion for that, so make sure that you put that on your calendars, and because it will be coming up fast. And let's see. Young at Hearts will be hosting their Senior Sunday, July 30th, in the morning service. Make sure you invite all your friends. I'm really looking forward to it, but like I said, it'll be July 30th. And so I don't know what all is going to be going on there, but I know it's going to be awesome. Looking forward to the choir. They wouldn't let me in even if I tried. They won't let me in. I don't have the, it said something about I had the face for radio and the voice for the old, you know, I don't know, not black and white movies, but, you know, the silent movies, yeah. remember me praying for Pastor. He's going to be coming back tomorrow, but they had an excellent, just wonderful time there at camp this last week as he's preaching. Then I know he's preaching this morning and evening there in Savannah. So just remember him in your prayers, and we will see you back Wednesday night. Thank you.